We're back to wine now, and something else that's a big problem. Bushfires, but not for the reason you might think. And thankfully, Kerry Wilkinson might have a solution.
When the bushfire occurs or prescribed burning occurs in close proximity to wine regions, there's the risk that that smoke might linger around and in some cases can be taken up by grapevines where smoke exposure occurs for an extended period of time. And what we see is that smoke translates to a taint that can be detected in the wine in some cases.
Well, so what there are chemicals, some kind of volatile agents in the smoke, presumably, that then adsorb or impregnate the surface of the grapes, and this then gets carried over into the press.
Some of these processes are still under investigation and we don't yet have all the answers, but it certainly seems to be that some of the components of smoke are being absorbed by grapevines and by fruit, and that these are carrying over into the wine and can influence the aroma and sensory properties of the finished product.
Is the effect always negative? Is it always bad news for the wine if that happens?
We don't see an apparent taint in all wines where vineyard smoke exposure has occurred, but where it's prolonged, there is a risk that we see some smoky, burnt meat type characters in a wine. And in some wines, particularly a delicate Riesling, for example, this can be detrimental to the quality.
How much smoke do you actually need? So a bonfire in the vineyard is probably trivial, but a big bushfire is likely to be more dramatic.
That's true. The research is ongoing, so we haven't yet been able to say this is the minimum duration of exposure that's required to translate into a tainted wine. Where we have seen significant issues with smoke taint, it's generally a case of a large fire that's ongoing for a number of days or even weeks, and where that smoke hangs around for a considerable length of time.
And are all grape varieties equivalently susceptible to this, or are some going to see their flavours impacted more than others?
That's actually the focus of a current research project. We're actually looking at conducting a varietal trial to see if there are any physiological characteristics of certain varieties that make them more or less susceptible. So the idea is that some of the characteristics of certain grapevines, for example, their leaf area or their bunch size, might influence the levels of smoke that are being absorbed in the field. And so hopefully what we can do is identify varieties that are less susceptible to the uptake that might be more appropriate for growing in regions where you know, they're prone to smoke.
Is there anything you can do about it once it's actually happened? Because in Victoria, I think last year where there were some fires, they had to throw away a huge amount of wine.
Yeah, the Australian wine industry, particularly in Victoria, which has had a few incidences in recent years, they're really concerned with their brand. And so in many cases, wineries aren't prepared to risk their reputation by putting out a product that they don't believe is up to their standards of quality. We've been conducting some research looking at a technique that involves reverse osmosis and solid phase adsorption, which might have the capacity. It certainly looks promising to try to overcome the issues of smoke taint and remove that taint.
So would you then take the product and try to extract just the molecules that are making that smoky taste? Or do you go to the grapes and do something to them?
At this stage, the amelioration techniques are being applied to wine, and that's because some research has recently identified that some of these smoke compounds are being conjugated by the grapevine, so they're present in more complicated forms than what we're able to detect. And what we've shown is that during winemaking, these more complicated molecules are being broken down to release the compounds contributing smoky type aromas. So it's better for us to be treating the wine as a finished product to try to remove the offensive compounds, rather than treating the grapes or the grape juice where we're actually not able to target those molecules more specifically.
There must be hundreds, if not thousands, of different flavourants in an individual wine. So how do you know what's smoke, and how do you know what's actually good, honest grape flavour?
That's true, and even some of the compounds that are present in smoke are natural components of grapes as well. So that's part of the complication of determining a method that we can use for trying to remove smoke taint is coming up with techniques that I guess, act more specifically on the offensive molecules and try not to, to have so much of an impact on the desirable compounds.
So how do you actually do that? Are you growing grapes and then wafting smoke over them so you can then see how much they take up or something?
We actually are. We're conducting a number of field trials where we build purpose-built smoke tents around our grapevines, and we then generate smoke and put the smoke inside these tents for a specified period of time. And we come back and collect grapes at different times afterwards, or harvest the grapes when, once they're mature, to make wine out of them to conduct a number of chemical and sensory analyses at a later date.
And have you got some candidate compounds that you know translate into these nasty aromas that you think you can now remove?
There are two marker compounds that are currently being used, guaiacol and 4-methylguaiacol, and these are reasonably reliable indicators. When their levels are higher in smoke-affected grapes and smoke-affected wines, it tends to correlate with higher levels of perceived smoky characters. The complication is that these compounds are also derived from barrel maturation, so when a wine is matured in a barrel, you'll see these compounds as well. So we know that they're not solely responsible, and ongoing research is trying to identify some of the other compounds that are responsible.
And the removal process, how effective actually is that, and does it leave the wine fairly otherwise untainted then?
The project that we ran last year, we took a smoke-tainted Pinot, and it had quite an apparent smoky character. And we were able to reduce the levels of guaiacol from 12 micrograms per litre down to 5 micrograms per litre. And perhaps most importantly was the sensory results we got from this. And our panel could readily distinguish between the wine before and after treatment. But not only that, there was an improved acceptability of the wine after treatment. So it had less intense smoky type characters and more intense fruit characters. There is the potential that we're also removing desirable flavour compounds. You know, we don't deny that, but it does seem to be a process that at least gives winemakers some hope where they, you know, don't have too many other options available to them.
So there might be some hope for my home brewing yet then. Bit of a reverse osmosis to remove a few undesirable flavours, and that should leave behind some pleasant tasting water. That was Kerry Wilkinson from the University of Adelaide.